Jerry Bader Show 1036. Just before the news there, I share with you a piece from Peggy Noonan. Posted over the weekend and published in Saturday's Wall Street Journal, where she makes what I think is the best case yet for what's going on the southern border. And check it out if you can. But I want to just reread a paragraph concerning President Obama. There is every sign he let the crisis on the border build to put heat on Republicans and make them pass his idea of good immigration reform. It would be comprehensive, meaning huge, impenetrable, and probably full of mischief. His base wants it. It would no doubt benefit the Democratic Party in the long term. The little children in great danger holding hands, staring blankly ahead, are pawns in a larger game. That game is run by adults. How cold do you have to be to use children in this way? This is exactly what the plan was. It's for the children. So you put false hope out there throughout Central America that if you come here, your kids come here, they'll get to stay here. And then when this draws tens of thousands of children to our southwestern border, well, you got to do something about the kids now. It's for the kids. Yes, the same way Harry Reid used kids with cancer as a pawn. By the way, did you see his hometown newspaper, the Las Vegas newspaper, called him out for playing the race card in the Hobby Lobby? You might wonder what the race card would be in the Hobby Lobby ruling. He referred to the ruling by five white guys. Yeah, that would include, Clarence Thomas. Once again, reaffirming to liberals, you're not really black if you're not liberal. That's what they're trying to point out. Anyway, absolutely brilliant piece. I did not discuss this on Friday, and I just need to take a second or two or three to do this. The Emmy nominations for 2014 came out on Thursday, and I didn't get to them on Friday. A series that I really didn't get into, Fargo, a miniseries, did very, very well. A series that I'm not into, Game of Thrones, snagged 19 nominations and took the lead for the drama category. Here's what's fascinating. A show that I do watch, and I'm binge watching right now, Orange is the New Black, did very, very well. And before I tell you this, now look at the category it's in. Before I tell you this, let me tell you, this show is so heavy sometimes, I have to walk away. But the writing is brilliant. It's in the category for Best Comedy. Here are the nominees. The Big Bang Theory, Louie, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, not even familiar with that. Veep, not familiar with that. Orange is the New Black. Now, be clear, there is a dark, dark comedy element to Orange. There's no there is comedy in it. No question about it. But definitionally and historically, comedy is seen as something uplifting. Orange is such a downer at times. As I said, the depicted sex is way over the top. And again, we're in a women's prison, so you can guess. And the language. But women have been beaten bloody. There have been two depictions of women viciously beaten. This is in the comedy category? House of Cards, by the way, is also nominated. Jason, show me the drama one, the best drama series, not actors or actresses. Kate Mulgrew is nominated for Red in Orange is the New Black, which is really good. The best drama nominees are Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Mad Men, True Detective. If House of Cards wins this year, I think it'll be a consolation prize for not having won last year, because I think season two was really a letdown from season one. I would argue Mad Men was better than House of Cards. Those are the only two that I watch. I have seen a little bit of True Detective. I think this season of Mad Men was actually better than House of Cards. But I suspect House of Cards might win. It is beyond imagination to me that the women's prison drama, at least in my mind, Orange is the New Black, is in best comedy. You watch this thing for an hour, and it's competing with The Big Bang Theory? It's heavy. It's a dramedy, okay? Let me say, it's a dramedy. The episode I just watched had two instances of flaming poop on the porch. So, yeah, I mean, you've got that. I understand. There's dark comedy woven into the drama. Really? Comedy? Let's see. Which one do I want to do first here? Let's do this one first. Then I want to get to the football thing. Peggy Breister. Times have changed. She's now editor of the Fond du Lac Reporter newspaper. She was a reporter when I was there many, many, many years ago. She's written an editorial piece that has shown up on a couple of Gannett newspaper websites criticizing state senators Glenn Grothman and Joe Lipom for skipping two League of Women Voters forums. They will take place in a debate on this show on Wednesday, July, or is it Thursday? Well, July 31st. Is that Thursday? That's Thursday, July 31st. It's July 31st. Yeah. A little bit of Peggy Breister. The refusal of two GOP congressional candidates to take part in a League of Women Voters forum represents much of what's wrong in politics these days. Glenn Grothman and Joe Lipom both issued statements earlier this week, she wrote this last week, announcing they had no intention of taking part in the forum in Ozaukee County, scheduled for tonight, by the way. Grothman's statement indicated the senator from Campbellsport doesn't see it necessary to take part in a debate sponsored by an organization completely opposed to conservative Republican principles of election integrity. Lipom, a state senator from Sheboygan, said no Republican candidate dedicated to voter ID reform should be taking part in participating in events hosted by an organization dedicated to stopping voter ID. I worked for nearly a decade to get signed into law. It's my understanding Senator Grothman has also declined to participate in this event, and I thank him for that. So, Peggy Breister writes, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the message here I disagree with you, or worse yet, you disagree with me, therefore I'm not talking to you? It's a common criticism of our current political climate. Legislators, congressmen and women and senators so set in their positions that they won't even talk to the other side. I was always taught to listen to those who disagree with you. Only then you can understand where they're coming from and affect some sort of compromise. That's not the point here. She has missed the point completely. But before I address what the real point is, Peggy Breister, do you feel the same way about how campus liberals are stifling voices that aren't even conservative? But if they hold a position the campus liberals don't like, then they can't be there? What about that? Let's see you write an editorial about that. Let's see you write an editorial about because the former chancellor of Berkeley actually had the stupid Occupy Wall Street goons pepper sprayed that he couldn't speak on a liberal campus, and he's a flaming liberal. Joe and Glenn wouldn't go there to have a tea party. And I don't mean political tea party. I mean a tea party or a coffee clutch. Yeah, pinky in the air type one. Like that. That's not why they're going there. The League of Women Voters would be their inquisitor. And they pretend to be neutral when they're not. The larger point here is they have an agenda. And I don't blame them. They're not being honest. They're being fraudulent about their political leaning. So I have no problem with what Joe and Glenn did. Not at all. Then there's this. The University of Colorado Boulder has offered a clinic called Football 101 for Women since sometime when Bill Clinton was president. Some feminist alumni recently found out about it. Now they're mad. The angry alumni say the clinic condescendingly promotes the stereotype that women don't understand sports or don't care about them, reports the Daily Camera, Boulder's main newspaper. Clinic attendees, all female, will learn about from Colorado Buffaloes head coach Mike McIntyre and other members of the coaching staff will learn about football. There will be interactive clinics consisting of meetings, film study, and skill stations, according to Buff's Blast, a team-related newsletter. University of Colorado Athletic Department spokesman Dave Platty noted this year's complaints are the first he's heard about it since the school introduced the clinic in the mid-90s. Platty also observed that the three-hour, $50 clinic will cover advanced football topics, such as why a defense might choose a cover two scheme. You don't hear about the very basics of the game, such as a touchdown is worth 6 points, the athletic director told the Daily Camera. The complaining women don't like it. It's singling out women as if they don't understand how to do things. 2002, CU grad Lindsay Howard told the local paper, it's hard to fully articulate aside from the fact that it felt like a cute little pat on the head. We're going to teach you how this sport works. It's not 1950, it's 2014, she added. Another angry alum, 1996 grad Sarah McLaughlin, said she saw information about the clinic on Facebook and thought it was a hoax. She couldn't believe that in 2014 they think they have to teach women about football. It makes me embarrassed that the university would think this is a good idea, McLaughlin, who now works as a brand strategist, told the Daily Camera. It seems very, listen to the words she uses. Listen to this. It seems very medieval or backwards. Oh, yes. Yes. Teaching women about football. Yeah, that makes me think chastity belt. Yeah, absolutely. She added that she will not withhold all donations to the university because of the clinic. For some reason, the Daily Camera also spoke to Out Boulder, a gay advocacy organization, about the clinic. Listen to this. A spokeswoman for the organization, Marty Moore, advised that the school should make the class available to everyone. Being a woman, I know I need some education in football, she said, but I also have several male friends who need education in football. Are they suggesting gay guys don't know about football? Well, some don't. Some straight guys don't. Here's the reality. Now, football has grown more popular with women in recent decades. There's no question about that. Not NASCAR popular. I think NASCAR and maybe Major League Baseball continue to be the two sports where women are more dialed in. But women have grown as a segment of the TV football viewing audience. But there are it's still men heavy in its demographic, and heavy men, but men heavy in its demographic. I don't know. I thought the last number I saw was something like 70-30, or it might be 65-35, men to women. They're trying to grow the audience. It's still a predominantly male audience. You have to pay $50 for this. If you're a woman that understands football, they're not thrusting it on you. They're just saying, if you want to get into the sport and you don't know the sport, here's a way. Are there possibly men who could benefit from this? Yeah. Might it be smart to allow men? What guy is going to admit that he needs to sit? There's the problem. Whether it should or shouldn't be that way, what guy is going to sit with a bunch of women and learn football? Jason says if he's single and smart, he will. Well, see, apparently I'm neither. There's nothing sexist about this. I mean, if it was sewing or anything else that historically, but not exclusively anymore, that women did. There are a lot of things that women would know more about. That's just stupid. It's 10:51.
The Jerry Bader Show.